Airbus announces production cuts. Former Eclipse workers flood the unemployment office. And NASA punts again on a launch date for Discovery. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, February 23, 2009. Airbus announced on Friday that starting this October, it will cut production rates of its A320 family from 36 to 34 planes a month. Production rates for the A330 and 340 widebody family will be kept at the current level of 8.5 planes per month and not increased further as previously planned. The company cited continuing uncertainties caused by the worldwide economic crisis and said it expects no impact on employment levels. But Airbus CEO Tom Enders qualified that expectation. Quote, many airlines are taking capacity out of the market. I do not exclude further production cuts if the need arises, unquote. Airbus achieved a record high of 483 deliveries in 2008 and hopes to do about the same this year. Eclipse Aviation followed last Wednesday's abrupt shutdown of operations with a statement that only the paperwork remains to be finished in the sale of its assets to EclipseJet, a takeover company formed by Europe's eTurk Aviation, a major shareholder in the old Eclipse. KRQE-TV in Albuquerque attributed to Eclipse General Manager Michael McConnell a statement that the various parties involved in the sale are poring over contracts, and European media has reported the sale could be complete within a few days. About 800 workers sent home at midday Wednesday were scheduled to get full paychecks on Friday, and the company has promised their benefits will be continued. But when the sale closes, technically they'll be unemployed with no promise of being hired by the new company. Over the weekend, the New Mexico Department of Workforce Solutions had extended Saturday hours to handle the surge of applications from furloughed Eclipse workers. Managers at NASA met on Friday to review progress troubleshooting a bug in gas valves used in the shuttle fleet. They decided they still don't have enough information to proceed, so Discovery's STS-119 launch has not been rescheduled yet. Engineering teams have been working to identify what caused damage to a flow control valve on Endeavour back in November. Teams have also tried to determine the consequences if a valve piece were to break off and strike part of the shuttle and external fuel tank. The next review is set for Wednesday and may result in an announcement of a new launch date at that time. If you're an FAA-certificated airman who flies internationally as a required crew member, there's a deadline coming up next week that may need your attention. Effective March 5th, the International Civil Aviation Organization will expect your pilot certificate to carry an endorsement confirming that you can meet ICAO's Level 4 proficiency standard for English. Now, if this sounds confusing, demonstrating your ability to read, speak, write, and understand English has always been a requirement to obtain your U.S. certificate. But ICAO wants to see a formal endorsement on it. If you need to replace your certificate to get one which shows an endorsement, you'll need to send the application for a replacement certificate and $2 off to the FAA right away. The seemingly redundant requirement originally had a deadline of March 5th last year. The FAA notified ICAO it was extending that deadline for compliance by U.S. pilots by 1 year. How time flies. Up next from our crew at Healy Expo 2009 in Anaheim, Bell releases an update on the 429 program. Two companies collaborate on a new HTOS system. And your S61 can now have a glass panel. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with a sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612 847-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 23rd. I'm Paul Plack. On the eve of Healy Expo 2009 in Anaheim, California, Bell Helicopter provided an update on its 429 program. Bell's new turbine was unveiled at Healy Expo 2005. Senior VP of Customer Support, Danny Maldonado, said the deliberate pace of development was due to an effort to, quote, ensure our customers get the training and logistical support they will need to successfully operate the 429, unquote. On Saturday, Bell announced the 429 will be the first commercial, new generation, light twin to be listed on the EASA maintenance program. Neil Marshall, Commercial Program Director for the 429, filled in some recent performance data from flight testing. The 429's max airspeed in level flight with max continuous power has improved from 142 to 147 knots with skid gear. Maximum long-range cruise is now specced at 364 nautical miles. Of interest to the high and hot crowd, hover and ground effect has jumped from its early spec 11,000 feet to 14,200, and hover out of ground effect is up from 9,300 to 11,300 feet. Marshall adds the 429 is proving to have excellent ride quality and the lowest takeoff and approach noise level in its class. Useful load in current test trim is 2,640 pounds. Another pre-show announcement Saturday was made jointly by Free Flight Systems and Sandell Avionics, who've teamed up to make Sandell's ST-3400H helicopter terrain awareness and warning system with Free Flight Systems' RA-4000 series of radar altimeters. The product targets owners of older radar altimeters looking at upgrades. Sandell CEO Jerry Block promises the highest performance, fastest installation, and lowest installed cost upgrade path for those desiring the safety improvement of HTAWs, with features which include audible altitude callouts. Free Flight CEO Tim Taylor added, quote, on the practical side, with space at a premium, our collective design focused on size and weight and ease of operations. In this manner, the installation is quick and training requirements are minimal, so the pilot can take advantage of these critical safety features immediately, unquote. An option for on-demand night vision imaging system compatibility is also available. Delivery of the new system is planned for this year's third quarter. Vector Aerospace Helicopter Services North America, which proudly notes it's the world's largest independent provider of helicopter maintenance, repair, and overhaul services, announced at Healy Expo 2009 that the FAA has approved an STC for Vector's adaptation of the Sajim Avionics integrated cockpit display for the Sikorsky S-61. The package will be available through Carson Helicopter Services based in Grants Pass, Oregon. The configuration uses five 10-inch active matrix LCDs and integrates flight and engine instruments, moving maps, enhanced vision, and terrain warning. VIP demos of the system are being offered today at Healy Expo 2009 at Static Display Booth 25 from 10 to 1:30. If you're interested, register at the booths of any of the three companies. Still ahead, this year's AOPA Expo will stress advocacy. A member of NTSB escapes limbo by resigning. And who knew the Swiss could be this hot-headed? You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, February 23rd. I'm Paul Plack. While delivering the keynote address at the 2009 Northwest Aviation Conference on Saturday, Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association President Craig Fuller announced some changes for AOPA Expo coming to Tampa, Florida in November. Aside from updated aesthetics, Fuller says a newly restructured AOPA Aviation Summit will expand the organization's advocacy efforts by bringing, quote, everyone in general aviation to the table, regulators, industry, and users, to discuss the major issues that affect everyone, flyers and non-flyers alike, unquote. The exhibit hall at the Tampa Convention Center will have a new layout intended to provide greater opportunities for product demonstrations and other events on the show floor. The show runs Thursday through Saturday, November 5th through the 7th, in Tampa. The aircraft displays will be at Peter O. Knight Airport on the south end of Davis Island, about 11 minutes by car from the convention center. The NTSB has updated us on the circumstances surrounding the crash of a Cirrus SR-20 last week near Deltona, Florida. That accident killed a student and a flight instructor from Delta Connection Academy. The board says no discrepancies were found in the plane's engine or controls, but board member Corky Smith said the wreckage will be moved to Alabama for further inspection. Quote, we've done a cursory examination on the engine and have not found anything. However, there are some other tests that I want to do in a factory test setting. That's why it's going to Mobile, unquote. Smith also confirmed the SR-20's ballistic recovery chute had been deployed, although it appears it was released too low for it to inflate before impact. The NTSB's on-scene spokesman for matters relating to the crash of Continental 3407 in Buffalo has announced he'll be leaving the board at the end of this week. Board member Stephen Chelander says his last day will be this Saturday, and that his new job is with Airbus Americas as VP of Technical Training based in Miami. Chelander has been a board member since January 3, 2007. Before the Buffalo incident, he worked on scene for two other major investigations, that mid-air collision between two news helicopters in Phoenix in 2007, and the crash of a corporate aircraft in Owatonna, Minnesota in 2008. He's also a former member of the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds and also served as a captain for American Airlines. NTSB's website says Chelander was nominated by President Bush in December 2007 to continue serving on the board. He told the Associated Press last week that his confirmation was delayed ever since, and his nomination lapsed when President Obama took office on January 20th. And finally, a Swiss International Airlines pilot has been released by police after he responded badly to a routine security procedure at London City Airport last week. The British tabloid The Sun reports the incident took place on Tuesday when screeners told the pilot to take off his shoes and belt. An unnamed source told the paper, quote, he pulled down his trousers and pants to completely expose himself, then turned to the security guard and asked angrily, do you want to search this? Unquote. The incident occurred in an area away from passengers. While the pilot faced questioning by police, 37 passengers were forced to wait 2 hours for the next flight. The source told The Sun he didn't know what prompted the outburst. Quote, perhaps he was having a bad day. Unquote. You know, I've had bad days, but, well, maybe I just never had one that bad. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves discusses his belief that modern aircraft demand that pilots become thoroughly familiar with electrical systems. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.